playing downhill. They were talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo as playing downhill in a basketball game as if the court was slanted. Would you find that a little odd if we found out that the court in Milwaukee was actually on a tilt? How on earth was this man playing downhill? What exactly does that mean? That he's smashing into people with impunity on his way to the basket and the refs are calling nothing? Did you see Monty Williams after the game? Nothing!
Yeah,
that's about a little help here. The British Open. I like that they have Venus flytraps lining the fairway. They just suck the ball in.
No one says anything, but I guess normal.
You're expecting to find like a couple of old World War II rifles in the sand traps instead of a rake. How is this course? I don't know. Royal St. George's. Is it like, you know, one of those old school British Open courses? I mean, they're all old school.
I was going to say, is there anyone different? Is there anyone that looks like Pebble Beach? They always look like it's, like you said yesterday, like in the middle of a war-torn country. Yeah. And then, here, go play golf now, guys. Like, that's how it looks every time. It's like a disaster.
I think when Charles Dickens wrote the opening scene in Great Expectations, he was at a British golf course. Probably sitting in the clubhouse. Unbelievable. No, Italian over French food. Get out of here.
Yes, I agree.
Not even a question. Give me a chicken parm over anything they have on the menu at a French restaurant. Would you like the pigeon? I don't want some small bird that tastes like crap. Get out of here. I don't care what kind of sauce you put on it, Frenchie. You sound like Francois Lebec. Should Connaughton be playing soccer? That guy's a flopping machine. He looks like he got hit in the head by Larry Holmes every time somebody drives on him. Meanwhile, he's like got his hands in their shorts. I mean, he's all over the guy, you know, like a cheap suit. And he gets a few of these calls, and then they review him, and you're looking and you're going, my God, how could anybody allow that farce to go ahead and persist?
The time!
Wake up with Defo, joined by Luby. Welcome to The Defo Show.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lone Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be just a lonely baby.
All right, morning once again, everybody. Great to be with you here, the ALT Defo Show. Jeff DeForest, Mike Luby Lubitz with you. Hey, peel yourself off the mat Monday here on 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, and around the entire universe on the iHeartRadio app. Great to be with you on this fine Monday, and so many different things happening in the world of sport and around the world in general, including, and I just got a text message here from my friend Chip that we're losers, Luby, losers. Two very bad Budenholzer-like decisions. And now, how can you knock Budenholzer and his decision-making? They made this guy out like he was Napoleon. Hey, we don't need jackets. It's not that cold. Come on. Nap. Custer, right? I don't think there's anybody else out here. I think we could just roll right in. Okay. That was it. I mean, Wipeout City. Everybody has their Waterloo, so to speak. Budenholzer looked like his... What was happening many times during the course of the playoffs. I mean, after they annihilated the Miami Heat, first it looked like they made a big mistake intimidating the Heat. The owner of the Milwaukee Bucks coming out and saying, yeah, we want these guys. And you thought, uh-oh, that's not going to play well. And they did. They followed through, and they just clobbered the Miami Heat. And then you started condemning Mike Luby Lubitz, the Miami Heat, saying that they were completely nowhere, out of gas, and you blamed COVID-19 and the bubble last year as part of the reason why the Miami Heat were no contest, no competition whatsoever for the Milwaukee Bucks, a team that was deemed to be a bunch of choking dogs if there ever was one. And everybody was being criticized on that Buck team after they got down 2-0. I didn't really buy. I mean, Giannis went out there, Giannis Antetokounmpo, a two-time MVP. He went out there, he played his game. I mean, you're not expecting this guy to look like Durant out there shooting three-pointers, but he does many things very well, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yes. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Very, very well. I mean, he is what he is, as Dave Wannstedt would say. But fairly spectacular, and he hustles, and he plays hard. Now, he does get away with murder. We know that. And is that on orders from Adam Silver? Carried over from David Stern?
Yes.
Make sure the stars get every freaking call, no matter how outrageous. It's kind of like that fight they gave to Jermell Charlo over the weekend, where he clearly was defeated and somehow ended up with a draw and retaining his titles. You always like that. But Budenholzer, nobody was being more harpooned and lampooned than Budenholzer. What was it? I mean, the case where the coach of the Milwaukee Bucks was the symbol for futility. He was to the Milwaukee Bucks what Joe Philbin was to the Miami Dolphins, a symbol of futility, of poor decision-making, of, well, at least Budenholzer appears to have somewhat of a personality, no? Although that's unfair to say about our man Joe, after he did display some personality privately to us on what we thought was going to be a very ill-fated meeting. And speaking of the Dolphins, they go to training camp a week from tomorrow.
Nice.
And we will have John Congemi. John's got to be just ready to roll here. John Congemi later on, Dateline Dolphins, brought to you by Jimmy Johnson's Big Chill in Key Largo. And we can't wait to do some shows from there. Can we arrange to do one in a preseason? I think we ought to have a preseason show down there, no?
Okay, Luby? You let me know.
We can figure it out. I want to get down there and talk some football with Jimmy Johnson. Who better to talk football with than the great Jimmy Johnson? But we will have that for you all during the season, and John's going to join us later on today. We started that thing up a few weeks ago, and it has been a smash hit here on the show, Dateline Dolphins, and we finally have some things to talk about on that program that might be relevant to the upcoming season, more so than contract disputes. You think the X-Man is going to hold out?
Yeah, but he is, Xavier and it looks like they're going to trade him, and it really is annoying to me.
They're going to trade Xavier Howard? Are you kidding me?
Well, it's what it feels like. He's going to hold out, and they're not going to just sit there and not have him on the field. I think they should just let him sit. This isn't the normal circumstance where the guy hasn't been treated right. Before, when he was good but not great, they went and made him he wasn't the best corner in football. He was like a top 5 to 10 corner. Yet they made him the highest paid corner. They did their job. They showed him that they wanted him here, and they appreciated him. So other guys get paid more, that doesn't matter. Like, he still has like 2 or 3 more years on the deal. Like, I think they should just let him sit. I just don't know if they will.
I have two problems that I need to see go in the right direction in terms of correction during the preseason. Mm-hmm. And I don't know when we're going to get to see this, but I had two problems with the offense last year, Luby. You know what they were?
Boring?
No. Well, that was one. I mean, it was the result of the two problems I have, the running game and
running
the passing game.
Running game and the passing game.
Those were my two problems. Now, are they one and the same, relatable to one single factor, the offensive line? I would say no to that. That you can't pin all of the offense's problems on the offensive line. Now, oddly, statistically, I'm dead wrong. Because it's a shocker to think that the Dolphins had one of the more prolific offensive teams last year. Is that even remotely possible, Mr. Elias Sports
Bureau? For them. It wasn't overall. It wasn't like they ranked in the top 5 in the NFL. It was, they've been so bad offensively that last year was an uptick compared to as bad as they've been, and they still weren't good. Like, they didn't rank high. What were they, top 15, top 20?
I'm not asking to have Derrick Henry carry the ball for us, and then every pass that Ryan Tannehill throws is wide open because you have 11 guys on the line of scrimmage. But a nondescript running game, would you say? I mean, how would you define a Dolphins running game? Who even carries the ball for the Miami Dolphins? Do we know? Nobody.
Bunch of practice squad guys, Gaskins and Ahmed.
I mean, what happened to Ricky Williams or that type of running back? Well, wasn't that fun when they ran him 400 times during the season and wore him completely the bleep out? He had to resort to smoking massive amounts of marijuana, which now he probably could get away with in the National Football League. Imagine being harassed like Ricky Williams was over a marijuana issue. Crazy, right? They made the guy Meshuggah over that. Anyway, the running game, nothing to speak of, and the passing game has been for a while, has it not?
Yes.
Mike Luby-Lubitz, and we're not sure about our quarterback there, Tua Tagovailoa, and we'll see if he can make the improvements. But very curious about that during the preseason, where that's all going to go and how they're going to handle that. And that's not good. That's not a good development if they're going to trade Xavier Howard. Are you going to go on record as saying that as a distinct possibility? Don't these issues usually get resolved somehow? With a phony promise even, like, okay, don't worry about it, X-Man. We'll pay you next year.
Well, that's the
we
thing.
Can't tear that thing up right now.
They're not doing that. Like, Flores isn't about that. Like, they're not, they aren't even discussing an extension. They're not touching his contract. They just gave him a brand new contract. He's a top 3 to top 5 paid corner. That's about where he is, and they're happy with that. So that's the thing. He's not backing down from that. Usually, you're right. The organization says, oh, we got you. And they come up with some schematics that will show when they'll pay him and how they'll pay him and how it'll be great for everybody. The Dolphins aren't doing that. Like, Flores and company aren't about that. They're like, we just gave you a contract. We are happy you're here. We want you here, but we're not giving you any more money. And he's like, well, Byron Jones sucks, and I'm paid less than him on my own team. Like, what are you talking about? And he's right, but it doesn't matter. Like, that's the stalemate.
If you give him Byron Jones' contract, that should be allowable by the players' union. They just say, hey, you know, you're right. You're way better than Byron Jones, so we're going to give you his contract, and he's going to take yours. He's still going to be making big money. He'll have nothing to complain about, and if he doesn't like it, he can go to Canada. Here we are in Saskatchewan, and I tell you what a pickup by the Rough Riders here. Are they the Rough Riders? I don't even know.
No idea.
All right, so we're coming back with more. Grant Long going to talk buckets with us, trying to explain the inexplicable, how Milwaukee is in command of the series now. 3-2 up with Game 6 at home. Does this reverse, Luby? I don't know that the Phoenix Suns can overcome the curse of Rachel Nichols, who sat down one-on-one. I mean, one of those interviews that you're looking at and you're going, oh, this is tragic. Poor Chris Paul will never win a title. He could smell it. It was right within his grasp, up to nothing, and very much alive in Game 4 in Milwaukee. They could have won that, clinched the series there in Game number 5, up 16 in the first quarter. But instead, what are we looking at? We're looking at the Bucks now, looming as a cinch in this series. All right, 866-801-0940. That's our phone number. We're going to open up the phone lines in a while also and get your opinion on many things. The Marlins go down. They lose the suspended game that was picked up in a 10th inning yesterday. They lose that to JT Realmuto, former Marlin, the ex-Marlin factor, haunting him again as he comes up, hits a two-run homer to walk that one off. And then is dynamite in the follow-up game. And you're saying we got what, Sixto, for JT Realmuto, which at one time looked like it might not be such a bad proposition, but doesn't look so sweet right now. The Marlins in action tonight on the radio stations. They'll take on the Nationals. The Nationals with that incident outside the ballpark. I don't know if they've gotten to the bottom of exactly what happened there. Have you seen anything on that, Mike Lubitz?
Oh, I haven't heard much about it at all. That's
shots were fired.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
I saw a pretty good report on it, actually. ESPN had a pretty good report on it on one of their SportsCenter shows, and it was obviously big news, especially after it happened. That was, what, Saturday night? Shots fired, and the crowd exited. The Padres and the Nats players reacted very, very well and nobly in that spot, ushering fans even into the clubhouse. And you thought you were looking at Bruce Stern, Black Sunday, but fortunately that turned out not to be the case. There were injuries suffered, but not to any of the fans in the ballpark, because the shooting actually took place outside, and I think it involved two people in automobiles. Might have been as simple as a road rage thing, but it looked like it was going to be a very, very ugly. And, you know, you would hate to see this seeping its way into sports now. Some nutbag running around with a gun in a stadium. 866-801-0940 on the phone lines if you'd like to join us here on the show. So the Marlins equivalent of losing two yesterday. That was ugly. They played tonight. Team USA got back on track there. 2-2 now in the exhibition season. The big news out of New York is the slight of Julius Randle to be an Olympic basketball player, as Popovich takes one of his own guys, Keldon Johnson, who, had you ever heard of Keldon Johnson of the Spurs?
Never heard that name in my entire life, never. So thank you. Someone was referencing Keldon, and I'm like, who's Keldon? And I was like, who's this Johnson kid? I'm like, he had a good game, but I'm like, who is he?
Stocky little forward there for the San Antonio Spurs, who nobody watched this year, right? Once they lost Ginobili, that was it. And Tony Parker, speaking of French food. Pigeon is what? I mean, would you ever order the pigeon in a French restaurant over, like, a veal parmesan at an Italian restaurant?
Wouldn't think of pigeon as,
so
like,
it was an easy choice, right? I mean, if you're going Italy versus France, no contest on the food. All right, back with more. Grant Long going to join us next. Always a lot of fun in a moment. Now that.
The time.
And did we mention a Greek? He should be coming your way at 3 o'clock. It's 7:18. The great Grant Long joins us here on the show. You know, we like to fool around on the show. I did not know that your brother, Julius Long, is not only living in Australia, but is a professional boxer still competing as a heavyweight.
Yeah, he's having some trouble getting out of the way of that right cross as of late, though.
Yeah, I saw there was a series of knockouts there that, you know. How did this happen? He's 7'1".
He's my baby brother. He got all of the hype. 7'1", and could not walk and chew gum. Why he chose boxing, I have no idea. Considering the intimate relationship that he has with the canvas, I think he ought to get out of it as quickly as possible.
Start your day with a cup of Defo. We now return to the Defo Show.
Welcome back to the show, and great to be with you, the ALT Depot Show. Jeff DeForest and Luby Brown, Mike Luby Lubitz with you, 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone around the world. on the iHeartRadio app. We welcome to the program one of our favorites and a big fan favorite with the people out there. Always great to get the good feedback whenever Grant Long makes an appearance here on the show. And, Grant, I believe that we owe your brother Julius an apology because I did not realize this until, I think, after your last appearance on the program. I was looking over his record, and he did fight for the heavyweight championship of the world against one of many Nigerian nightmares, the great Sam Peter, who unfortunately beat him. But that's still no small distinction to have had a heavyweight title shot.
You're absolutely right. And by the way, good morning, guys. That's news to me that I have a brother that fought for a title, the world championship.
Yes.
Who knew?
World championship.
Knew?
Many titles were on the line that night, yes. I don't know how the World Boxing Council sanctioned that matchup, but nonetheless, he was in it and had a shot against one of the heavier punchers to come along in the heavyweight division, especially during that period of time. All right, speaking of punching, people were getting punchy thinking that the Bucks were finished. I don't know how many times they've been doomed, and I'm not sure. I don't think that you wrote them completely off because we all know that the NBA can turn around on a dime, especially with a change of venue. But after the 2-0 lead was established by the Phoenix Suns in the NBA Championship Series, what were you inclined to believe that the Bucks were finally on the El Finito list, that they had finally written their epitaph?
No, not even close, because I've been in situations. I was in a playoff series, guys, where I was with the Atlanta Hawks, and we were playing the Detroit Pistons at the time. And when the Detroit Pistons came to Atlanta, we beat them by 20 points in both games. When we went to Detroit, they turned around and beat us by 20 points in both games. It was incredible that we could not get anything going on the road, but yet we played so well at home. And ultimately, at that time, it was a five-game series. And at that time, we won two games at home. They won their two games at home. And we ended up closing it out in the fifth game at our place in Atlanta. It was just it was phenomenal like that, but it was a crazy, eerie feeling that you couldn't win on the road. So going back to that game, when the Phoenix Suns got up by two, I said they held serve, essentially. They were supposed – that shouldn't surprise anybody that Phoenix won two home games. Let's give the Bucks a chance to go home and see what they do. Of course, then they won their home games. Now it's a real series because it's now tied at two. And I said the game five is the pivotal game because now – somebody's got home court advantage back in their favor. And that time, it's the Milwaukee Bucks.
Grant, let me ask you, because they always say, and then Milwaukee stormed back over the weekend and took a 3-2 series lead. So now Milwaukee leads 3-2 with game six Tuesday back in Milwaukee. But let me ask you, they always say this phrase, Grant, role players play better at home. They play better at home. Why? And I get it, the crowd's there, but we've heard from players their whole lives, they love when the crowd boos. Like, even when you're a role player, quote unquote, you love hearing boos because that fuels you. You were both a starter, you're both a role player. What happens to role players on the road? They forget how to play. Like, I don't get why there's such a big discrepancy from role players at home to the road.
Well, I don't think it's so much role players, more so than it is young players.
Okay.
And typically when you say a role player, it's going to be a young guy. The established players understand what they're going to do, what they're going to get, how many shots, and what they're expected to do. It's the younger guys who are getting playing time who are affected, I think, on the road. Classic case with the Phoenix Suns and with any team. Your roster gets really short come playoff time, and it possibly gets even shorter than that if you're in the finals. The Phoenix Suns play eight guys. Yeah. They had 15 points off the bench. That's not going to win 15 points off the bench when you have to compete against the Milwaukee Bucks, who had 24, 25 points off the bench when they shortened their bench. So you've got to be able to produce points. And you think about Devin Booker, he had 40 points in that game.
Yep.
40 points, that's typically, you know, you should win that basketball game. They were up with double digits. He had 40 points. That's a great night that says that the Phoenix Suns should win that ball game. But if you go inside the numbers, he shot 50%, but he took 37 shots. Yep. That's a lot of shots. That means that the other guys aren't getting an opportunity to make an offensive contribution. Yeah, Devin Booker had a great night, but he took the ball out of a lot of guys' hands who could normally put some points on the board. So I think they've got to get back to sharing the basketball. He got, like I said, he shot a great percentage, but he's got to distribute the basketball more and he can't take 37 shots. That's a lot of shots in a game where you need everybody on your team to be effective.
An original member, a starter on opening night for the Miami Heat, and, of course, an excellent NBA career. Now with the Detroit Pistons broadcast team, the great Grant Long with us here on 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Are you a believer at all in matters of the occult, Grant? I want to say possibly so, because we think that it all boils down to a simple thing. While people were waiting for the coronation of Chris Paul to finally get his championship, he made the fatal error of allowing himself a one-on-one interview with Rachel Nichols, who every time we've seen her sit down with somebody, now she went into her own little controversy there as they yanked her vaudeville style off the broadcast, but she was back involved with a sit-down interview with Chris Paul. Is it possible that Chris Paul is now doomed to failure due to the fact that he consented to do that interview with Rachel Nichols, who many times, whenever she would talk to LeBron or anybody else, prominent figure in the NBA, it's not personal, but for some reason they would end up either on the injured list or losing a ball game that they otherwise should have won.
You're surprising me when you say that he actually had that sit down with Rachel Nichols, because just a couple weeks ago she offered him and he said no. He walked off.
Exactly.
So,
yes, and he was winning then. Coincidence? I think not.
Kiss of death.
Yeah, I don't know if you had anybody in your career. It could have been me. I mean, where if you were interviewed by the guy after a ball game. Well, I mean, the Heat weren't playing that well anyway when you were a member of the Heat until much later on after they went through the pain of being an expansion team.
Didn't take a curse for us to play at or to lose games back in the early '80s or '80s.
Yeah, we can't count those games as being involved in any kind of a curse. It was just a fact that they dealt you a pretty tough hand there with the expansion team. All right, now everybody's writing off the Suns, Grant Long. Is that a premature evaluation? Obviously, if the Bucks could take a game in Phoenix, the Suns, even though they got blown out by 20 the first go-round against Milwaukee, they very much were alive with a chance to win Game 4.
Oh, you should be coaching right now.
Amani Williams here with a pep talk, talking about the Suns, and is it a premature evaluation to write them off? Now, I remember after Game 2, Budenholzer was telling his team, they had a clip of him telling his team, hey, we're getting better, and things are going to be okay. We just have to do a few things differently. We got to win those 50-50 balls and maybe hustle a little bit more and hit the boards, and he was right about that. Can the Suns turn this around? What do they have to do? I mean, is it not possible they could steal Game 6 in Milwaukee?
Absolutely, guys. And I said this, like I said, I'm going to stick to my prediction. I had the Milwaukee Bucks winning 2 games in the series, but I had the Phoenix Suns ultimately being crowned the NBA champions this year. So I'm going to stick with that. Now, but I do think the Phoenix Suns will go on the road and win a basketball game that they have to win and ultimately close it out back in Phoenix. But here's the thing.
Wow.
If there's a way that the Milwaukee Bucks will win, it's because they have playoff experience of being this far with the Phoenix Suns. This is their first time. If you recall, the Phoenix Suns were not even relevant a couple of years ago, longer than that. And all of a sudden, they're here in the finals. So that lack of experience might play a key role in letting the Milwaukee Bucks have giving the Milwaukee Bucks this opportunity to win or close out a championship game. But I still think the Phoenix Suns will prevail in the next game and will ultimately be champions in the NBA this year.
All right. Now, we've seen it before when this concept first was originated, the Dream Team USA. I don't know if we have a Dream Team, but it's an assemblage of a lot of all-star NBA talent, Team USA, going to the Olympic Games. What did you think when they lost to a trio of Heat scrubs and lost that exhibition to Nigeria? I mean, literally, they lost to a team that was led by 3 guys that didn't even get off the bench for the Miami Heat, including Achiuwa, who looked like a very good player, but eventually, I mean, he was getting about 3 minutes of playing time a game.
Yep.
You know what? I do think when the entire U.S. team is assembled, when all of the players get there, they're going to be a much better ball club. But having said that, they were not supposed to lose those games. And I'll tell you the biggest reason that they're losing right now. They've got to get themselves mentally prepared. Right now they're playing like NBA players and like they have NBA officials. Yeah. Well, the international officials, they don't care about how many steps and how many times you get hit on the arm. You've got to play through a lot of contact when you're playing in the Olympics. You've got, and even in the medium rounds, you've got to play through a lot of contact. NBA players are so accustomed to, wait, he touched my hair on my shoulder. This should be a foul. And they get that call. And the officials now, they don't give you that call. There actually has to be contact for them to call a foul, and the NBA players are not used to that. So they've got to get themselves out of, okay, this is NBA basketball. I'm going to get the whistle every time I scream or every time I run to the basket and there's a little contact. No, you're not going to get that call. You have to play through it. When they realize that, they're going to be a much better team.
I know this may be a little bit biased and even sound bigoted, but we can't imagine, as red-blooded Americans, the American team losing at its own game. And no matter how many times they tell us that Europe has caught up and other countries have caught up and they have NBA players on their team, it seems outrageous that a team led by Kevin Durant should even be slightly threatened. I want to go back to the old clubbing of seals that used to take place. And you had Jordan and Larry Bird and Barkley and Magic and the boys where they crushed everybody like a grape and won by 50. Shouldn't that still be the case with an American all-star team here playing for Team USA?
Defo, I agree with you. And even though, you know, the other countries have come a long way as far as basketball and their talent is concerned, NBA basketball, American basketball, is always looked yep. at and has always been looked at as the pinnacle. And, you know, those guys that play overseas, they want to play in the NBA because they realize the best players play there. And that still holds true. But again, if they're not going to play as a group and get themselves together mentally, then they take themselves down another level. We were all spoiled by that dream team, that first one. And that kind of group might not ever be assembled again. So it's a good thing that they were able to separate themselves as that original dream team and just crush all of the competition. I said that's a very tough thing to live up to for the other teams that came behind them.
I can't see losing to a team like Australia where their third best player is Matthew Dellavedova. And they're led by Louis Scola, and you have Greg Popovich getting out coached by Mike Dunn with the Nigerian team. It just seemed absurd, kind of upset.
Yes, we lost Defo, but Grant, thank you so much. The one and only Grant Long, your Pistons analyst, former Heat great. We love you. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, Grant. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
All right, be well. And that was Grant Long. More here on the Defo Show coming up now. Your first edition of the Defo Files brought to you by the
World.
There he is.
That was great.
You there? Hello?
Yes.
Okay, because you left for like 2 minutes.
All right, very good.
Wonderful.
What happened there, really?
Welcome back. Welcome back. We're going to go to break here.
Oh, thank you. I know that. Yeah, no, that's all good. A little production on the fly here. Well, we lost Grant Long there, apparently.
No, we had Grant Long. We lost you. We had Grant Long.
Oh, yeah?
We lost you.
Well, you know, it's that time here where we keep saying, hey, every day, same time, we drop off the air there. All right, we're coming back with more in a moment. Ideal Volkswagen, the Forest Files is on tap. It's the ALT Defo Show. Peel yourself off the mat Monday. The Greek, 3 o'clock this afternoon, 9:40 wins, and the app and Marlins baseball tonight against the Nationals as we will try to make amends for yesterday in that series against Philadelphia. When the Marlins dropped 3 out of 4 and hurt us badly in the run for 71. Have you ever rooted for the wrong horse at the track, people?
You think that. You
have it and you don't? Oh, no, I don't have the two. That's what happened with Wiestesen and me over the weekend here in the golf tournament. I thought I had this guy. I had this Brandon Schauffele instead, who was nowhere to be seen. I think he finished up 3 under. Well off the pace that was being set by Usti, who now everybody says choked. And Colin Morikawa, very nice story, huh? Luby, this young kid, doing a hell of a job. He entered the PGA tournament for the first time, won that, and the British Open for the first time and won that. Not too shabby
yep.
for a young guy. Is he ticketed for greatness? You would have
like
to think yes. Yeah, John Rahm, after getting off to that poor start, ended up right there in the mix. 4 shots back, so not too shabby. All right, coming back with more in a moment on the ALT Defo Show. Deal Volkswagen, the Forest Files coming up next. John Congemi goes Dateline Dolphins with us, brought to you by Jimmy Johnson's Big Chill. That's happening as well. Our thanks to Grant Long for joining us, even with the verbal ransom note. Back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
It's 7:40. Carol Chessman had nothing on these guys. That story in a moment. Hi, Jeff DeForest here for the great people at Deal Volkswagen. Riddle me this. What's smaller than a Tiguan and starts with a T? It's the brand new 2022 Volkswagen Taos. Introducing the newest VW SUV that proves the best things come in small packages. And there's a huge selection of these new babies at Deal Volkswagen right now, where Anna makes buying or leasing a VW so easy. From bold styling to a turbocharged engine to the VW digital cockpit, the Taos truly checks all the boxes. It delivers on what you're looking for, and then some. Available features include driver assistance, app connect, IQ drive, rear view camera, touchscreen, nav and 10-color ambient lighting, just to name a few. Start your summer in a brand new 2022 Volkswagen Taos from Deal. They offer outstanding prices, selection, and service, and Anna and the gang will take care of you and no hassles whatsoever. Visit Deal today at the classic location, 3601 Bird Road, or call 305-448-DEEL, or visit DealVolkswagen.com. And you'll be like thousands of happy customers like me and the Mustang that say, it's all about the DEEL. If, like me, you watched a lot of Rain Out Theater as a kid, you no doubt are somewhat familiar with the Carol Chessman story. The basics are they sent Chessman to the gas chamber 8 times and on many of those occasions had already dropped the pellets before a last-second call from the governor would give Chessman a reprieve. The story comes to mind as we await the conclusion of the NBA Championship Series, where the Bucks were more than given up for dead after dropping the first 2 games to the Phoenix Suns. Everything about Milwaukee was in question, including whether or not they even knew how to brew beer in that city. Giannis was being ripped as not being a championship-caliber player. Chris Middleton was viewed as a farcical number 2 talent on a team incapable of going the distance, and Drew Holiday was being dismissed as someone who could not support the offense on a top-caliber team. The team's coach, Mike Budenholzer, was depicted as an overrated stiff who was incapable of making the necessary adjustments to bring Milwaukee back from the grave in this or any other series, unless he got lucky like he did against the Nets, who lost 2 of their 3 top stars to injury after taking a 2-0 lead in the second round and still nearly knocked Milwaukee out of the postseason. Then there was the media, who wrote a continuing, lengthy obituary for the Bucks after the first couple of games of this series, ignoring the fact this is the NBA, and the change of venues was likely going to loom large in the outcome of the championship run. Factor in human mush 220 Tommy, who declared Phoenix would sweep after the first couple of games were contested, only to see Milwaukee come back and win the next 3. There's no guarantee the Bucks will ultimately prevail, but after taking Game 5 Saturday night, one would have to certainly embrace their chances. No team or group of players has been given up for dead more often in such a short period of time. It just goes to show you how capable nearly everyone is of making a premature evaluation whenever NBA basketball is involved. Jeff DeForest for the DeForest Files.
Our new Miss Universe. If for any reason she is unable to fulfill her duties, the first runner-up will take her place. Miss Universe 2015 is Colombia! Okay, folks, I have to apologize. The first runner-up is Colombia. Miss Universe 2015 is Philippines.
We are back with Defo and the boys. We now return to the Defo Show.
Comes under the heading of We All Make Mistakes, Mike Luby-Lubitz. We all make mistakes, including the condemnation of the Milwaukee Bucks after they were down 0-2. They were dead in the water also previously when they were down 0-2 to Brooklyn. Now, they caught a break there. How big of a break was that? The injury to Kyrie Irving. Otherwise, you get the impression the Milwaukee Bucks would have been el finito. Budenholzer would have been fired. Giannis would have been traded. And Chris Middleton would have been in the CBA next year. Developmental League. D-League player. Maybe playing overseas. But Irving turns an ankle. Next thing you know, they come back. They win the series against the Nets, even though the Nets were down to 1 star. Versus 3, they still nearly pulled it out, and you thought the Bucks were finished, and sure enough, they go down 0-2 to the Phoenix Suns and end up now in a position having a commanding, winning that pivotal Game 5, commanding 3-2 lead, although still not over, as Grant Long said. Budenholzer was making worse decisions than Lucille Ball did as Lucy on the Lucy Show. Is that too arcane of a reference? Do people understand what I'm talking about? She was always getting Desi into a jackpot.
Our audience.
Oh, yeah, Lobie, what are you saying?
All right, we're coming back with more. We have a lot more to do on the show. We go Dateline Dolphins with John Kajemi, brought to you by Jimmy Johnson's Big Chill. That's happening in the 9 o'clock hour. The Greek comes your way, 3 o'clock this afternoon, always with a slick show with his partner there, Ricardo. They do a great job, 3 to 5 every afternoon on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app. And Marlins Baseball, the deal Volkswagen run for 71. We took one on the chin. We took two on the chin yesterday, Luby. An opportunity there to make something happen. The Marlins were down 2-0 when I got out of the car. I was listening to the great Glenn Geffner on the call right here on the radio station. 940 was tuned into, and they were down 2-0 when I got out of the car. And by the time I got in the house, they were up like 4-2 in that second game when they had the completion of the first game. They lost that. JT Realmuto, the former Marlin, of course, was a fan favorite down here. Was he not, Luby? Everybody liked Realmuto. We couldn't sign him, though. He was going to command too much money. The Philadelphia Phillies, they have an endless supply of cash, apparently. So they went ahead and signed Realmuto, and that's turned out to be a tremendous asset to them. And you were saying, what? We got Sixto Sanchez so far, close to El Zippo in terms of return for JT Realmuto, who also was a monster in a second game, and the Marlins lose them both yesterday. That was ugly. All right, we're coming back with more in a moment. Marlins baseball later on tonight. Nationals, they're going to be on the road against the Nationals. A three-game series begins tonight. 940 Wins and 1230 The Zone. We have some Marlin tickets we're giving away for their return home Friday night against the, I don't know if they're home before that, but Friday night game we have tickets against the Padres, red hot in the National League West. So the Padres come to town. We have a four-pack of tickets. We'll give you details how you can win those right at 8 o'clock. Back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
I'm glad we're giving tickets away. We'll be on the show. Isn't it about time? Gave some Marlin tickets away. It's our team, man. It's 7:53. The world, I mean, if my point was ever going to be embellished and going to be proven true, the world has gotten my sugar knife.
Grab a bagel and a schmear, plus some Defo and Luby. Welcome back to the Defo Show.
Big Marlin ticket giveaway coming up right at the top of the hour, so stick around for that. The ALT Defo Show on Appeal Yourself Off the Mat Monday, 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Get your fingers ready and start dialing 866-801-0940 if you'd like to win that four-pack of Marlins tickets for the Friday game against the red-hot San Diego Padres, competing, contending in the National League West. And we're hoping the Marlins can be back on track by then in the deal Volkswagen run for 71. Giving tickets away. It's Let's Make a Deal, my friends. It's The Price is Right. We're giving stuff away at the top of the hour. Back with that in a moment. Now that.
The time.
It's about time he gave us something, Dean.
It's 7:59.